Thank you, Sarah. Now to our final batch of stories on this part of Chatterbox, which include Churchill's secret bunker revealed in Norwich and new council homes for the city. But first, a long-serving day centre volunteer is set to retire.
She's done everything from peeling potatoes to organising days out, all to benefit the city's elderly population. But next month, Margaret Wynne will be stepping down from the helm of Sproston Day Centre after 33 years of volunteering. The 76-year-old from Horsford started at the centre in 1983, following an appeal for more people to help out with its luncheon club. And since then, she's dedicated countless hours to help keep the service at St Cuthbert's Church open to its elderly members. Mrs Wynne, who was made an MBE in 2013, said she was retiring from her position as chairman on June the 24th due to health issues. "I will be very sad to step down," she added. "When you do this work, you do it because you enjoy it and it becomes part of your life."
Millions of train users know the distinctive sound of a ticket being clipped by a conductor. The gentle click happens as a hole is punched through paper with a tiny circle of paper dropping to the floor of the carriage. But as the railway world moves itself into a new age, and as ticketing technology advances, the age of the clipper is coming to an end. Abelia Greater Anglia has confirmed it will phase out clipping after listening to frontline staff who often see hundreds of passengers on their services. As well as the mess created by the hole punch, the company said that a nationwide move towards the use of e-tickets was a significant factor in the decision. It added that passengers showing tickets on phones and tablets or a document or documents printed at home was bringing the tradition of clipping tickets to a natural end. Conductors will now use other ways of marking tickets, including drawing crosses.
A three-hour charity dance transported hundreds of people around the world. The annual charity Zumbathon, organised by local instructor Rachel Evans, raised money for the Hamlet Centre this year. More than £2,000 was raised for the charity, which supports young people and adults with disabilities and complex health needs. Ms Evans said over 200 people came together to support the charity, and the event even included a special track by myself and Daniel Banner, who is 18. He has attended the Hamlet Centre for several years. His mother, Michelle Banner, is my Zumba student, and I know how valuable the service the Hamlet Centre has been to them. City Academy Norwich was brought to life by the Around the World-themed event, which featured music from Brazil, Russia, Spain and India.
A secret Second World War bunker, built on the orders of Winston Churchill, lay hidden under a Thorpe St Andrew estate for almost 70 years. Its entrance is behind a bookcase. Its aerial was disguised in a tree with the feeder cable under the bark, and there was an escape tunnel in case its operatives were discovered. Now, the underground wireless station at Pine Banks off Yarmouth Road has been protected as a scheduled monument by the government on the advice of Historic England. The rare Inn Station, also known as Zero Station, was part of a mysterious network operated mostly by civilian agents. Wireless stations were set up in 1940 by Churchill in response to increasing threat of invasion. It is thought that just 32 of the bunkers were built in England during the war, with just a dozen discovered so far, and the Pine Banks bunker is one of the most intact examples. The station, which received messages from out stations in enemy-occupied areas, was found by a retired groundsman in the gardens of Pine Banks in 2012. It has now been awarded special protected status to preserve it and to celebrate its history.
A city museum has become the first in the region to host its collections online through Google. people will be able to view more than 150 artefacts kept at the Museum of Norwich at the Bridewell over the internet. The items are being hosted on the Google Cultural Institute website, which provides a virtual tour of the museum. John Ward, the chairman of Norfolk County Council's Joint Museums Committee, said, "This is a tremendously exciting development for the museum's service. Google's global reach and expertise will generate new audiences for our collections and provide existing ones with a new way of exploring the city's heritage."
Work has begun to build what will be the most environmentally friendly council homes in Norwich. The £1.5 million project in Hansard Close, Mile Cross, has seen Norwich City Council's former neighbourhood area housing office demolished to make way for 10 flats. Those flats, 8 one-bedroom flats and 2 two-bedroom flats, will be the first council-owned homes built in Norwich to what is known as the Passive House standard. Passive House homes are built to the highest standards of energy efficiency and designed to use very little energy for heating and cooling. Examples of Passive House features include extra-thick insulation, triple-glazed windows and doors, and heat provided through a mechanical vent heat recovery system. Gail Harris, Deputy Leader of Norwich City Council and Cabinet Member for Housing and Wellbeing, said, "We're very proud to be leading the development of homes with such outstanding eco-credentials, which have real benefits for both the environment and our tenants. It's fantastic to see Norwich emerging as a leader in this field."
If this boat could talk, what tales she could tell? The motor launch Chet, a River Inspectors Patrol launch, is being put up for sale after 40 years of patrolling the Norfolk Broads. The Broads Authority expects some interest from collectors in the boat, which is a traditional River Thames launch with a wooden cabin. Ranger Andy Elson, who has worked on the boat for the past year, said it was a piece of history. Mr. Elson said it's been kept in immaculate condition and it's loved by all the rangers because of its traditional style. It's been used for patrolling the river, enforcing bylaws, as well as carrying out safety patrols and liaising with the public. Mr. Elson said the boat had been serviced each winter. A similar vessel sold for £18,000 in 2014. Head of Ranger Services Lucy Birchnell said, "It's unusual for them to come up for sale. This is only our second one in 2 years. After this one goes, we will only have one more of the traditional river launches left." The boat covered an average of about 24 miles a week, which makes more than 50,000 miles over its lifetime. And that means it's travelled the equivalent of the length of the navigable rivers of the Broads, 480 miles, more than 100 times.
That's all from Alison and me. Now it's over to Marnie Meakin and Alan Shirley for the next part of Chatterbox.